since last Shabbos was Shabbos Chanukah, was also Parshas Vayeshev, so Rav Schlesinger spoke about a topic that connected both Parshas Vayeshev and the first of the Shabbos Chanukahs that we have this year. He began with a rokeach in Hilchos Chanukah that tells us that Chazal say that Nechoshes is Yavon. The copper, the material of copper, refers to Yavon. We'll see later in the shir why Nechoshes, copper, refers to Yavon. But the rokeach says that there's a connection with the end of Parshas Truma and the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh. We know at the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh it speaks about the lighting of the menorah. Va'ata tetzavis b'nei Yisroel v'yichwe lecha shem and zay yizach kotzes lamor. And the last word of the preceding parsha, Parshas Truma, ends off with the word nechoshes. So the rokeach says that the nechoshes that was brought for the use of the Mishkan, that was corresponding to the nechoshes that is represented by Yavon, and eventually that nechoshes, with Parshas Truma's ending, will be fixed up with the menorah of the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh. And as we develop the shir, we'll understand deeper how exactly this works, how the menorah takes care of the nechoshes, which represents Yavon. The B'nai Yisoskar says that the word Nechosha stands for Neiros Chanukah Shmona Tadlik. The Neiros of Chanukah, you should light 8 candles. You should light it for 8 days. And so here again, in the word Nechosha, you have that the copper is eventually going to be taken over, so to speak, by the Neiros of Chanukah, as we'll explain at the end of this year. The Mechaber, Rabbi Yosef Karo, in Siman Tov Resh Ayin, at the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, says the following: Bechof Hei BeKislev Maschilin Shmoinas Yimei Chanukah. On the 25th day of Kislev, we begin the 8 days of Chanukah. Va'asurin BeHesped V'Tainis, and you're not supposed to have a eulogy. You're not supposed to fast during these 8 days. Avo Mutorin Basias Malacha. You're allowed to do work. Rashi explains that when the Chachamim made Chanukah into a yontiv, they didn't make it all the way into a yontiv. They made it into a yontiv that we say Hallel, the whole Hallel, and we praise Hashem for all the miracles that he did for Klal Yisrael. But they did not prohibit it from work. A regular yontiv, you're not allowed to do work. That, they didn't make it a yontiv in the full sense that it's Asur b'Melacha. However, the Ramah continues and says, "V'noyhagois hanoshim shaloi lasis malacha ba'oich aneris dalkes." The women have a custom, even though the men are allowed to do work, but women should not. Let's say a woman, she wants to sew, while the candles are lit, she should not sew. Now, how long is this period ba'oich aneris dalkes? So the Magen Avraham says that it's the time that the neiros are lit, not in your house, but in shul. And how long should the neiros be lit in shul? Until chatzos. In other words, because from here, Rav Schlesinger said, you see that people are expected to be in shul till 12 o'clock at night, learning. There should be somebody in shul. Because otherwise, just to have the menorah lit in the shul, as is the custom, why would you need it till chatzos if nobody's there? Must be that people used to stay. Today it's very hard to find a shul where you have people learning in it till 12 o'clock at night. But apparently the custom used to be that people learned till chatzos, and that's how long the neiros were lit in the shul, and that's how long the Magen Avraham says that women should be noeg not to do malacha while the candles in the shul are still lit. And the I think it's the Ramah continues and says, that this custom that women should not do work during the while the candles are lit, we should not be makel. If a woman comes to ask a shayla, am I allowed to do it? The Rav should say, no, it's better that you keep this minute of not doing work. So it's very interesting. Schlesinger pointed out that we haven't even yet discussed that there is an obligation to light candles. We're already saying that the women shouldn't do malacha while the candles are lit. That's the first important thing at the beginning of Hilchas Chanukah. Why is that so important? As first, we would think we should speak about lighting the candles, all the different halachas. Then at the end of Hilchas Chanukah, we would say there's a minhag that women don't do malacha during the while the candles are lit. For some reason, which Rav Schlesinger will explain later in the shiur, the Mechaber, the Ramah, found it extremely important to tell you that women should not do malacha while the candles are lit. And then another halacha is brought down, that there's a custom that women, that not only women, everybody, they eat cheese. I was at a Sheva Brachos last night. Now it makes sense why they serve lasagna with cheese, a milchig Sheva Brachos. But there's a minig on Chanukah to eat cheese. And both of these minhagim, both that a woman does not do work and the minig of eating cheese, have to do with the fact that women played a very important role in the whole Nes of Chanukah. We know that Yehudis gave the general cheese and dairy products to eat. He got sleepy, fell asleep, and then she knocked off his head, and that helped in the winning of the war by the Hashmonaim against the Yavanim. So to remember that, the Chazal said it should be a special yontif for women in the fact that they do not do malacha while the candles are lit, and that we have a minig of eating cheese to remember what Yehuda served him. But again, both of these customs are written before we even discussed the mitzvah of lighting the candles. Again, why is it so important to tell us these two customs before we even learn about the important mitzvah? You know, first of all, what do you explain first, a mitzvah or a minig? The priority would be the mitzvah. And yet, for some reason, the Mechaber finds it important. No, I have to tell you about these two minhagim, about eating cheese and women not doing work during when the candles are lit. Why? Then Rav Schlesinger, he's going to ask a bunch of questions, and as his custom is, to answer all the questions with one idea. We say in the Al-Anisim. So the question is, first of all, there's a question, was Yochanan the Kohen Gadol, the grandfather, or was it referring to Matisyo, the Kohen Gadol? It says, Bimei Matisyo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. But whoever it's referring to, the question is, why is there such an importance to stress about being a Kohen Gadol? Later on, we're going to find also, they found a Pach Shemen, a crucible of oil, which had on it the seal of the Kohen Gadol. Why is that fact so important to underline? Do you have to be a Kohen Gadol to light the menorah? No. A regular Kohen could light the menorah also. For some reason, which again will be explained in this year, there's a stress here about Kohen Gadol. What is that? And interestingly enough, we see a connection between Kohen Gadol and Parshas Vayeshev. We said we're going to connect Chanukah with Parshas Vayeshev. Here we already see a connection. What's the connection? Because how many psukim are there in Parshas Vayeshev? There's 112. And the gematria, the numerical value of the word Kohen Gadol, if you don't spell Gadol with a Vav, just Gimel, Damel, and Lamed, Kohen Gadol is 112. Kohen is 20, Chaf is 20, Nun is 50, and Hay is 5, that's a total of 75. And Gadol, Gimel, Dalet, Lamed is 37. 75 and 37, exactly 112. So we see already there's some connection here between Kohen Gadol and Parshas Vayeshev. What's that connection? Then we say, Va'achar kach, or Nusach Ashkenaz says, Va'achar kain, this is all part of Dala Nisim, Bo banechol dvir beisecho. They came into your dvir, in your house. What is the explanation of the word dvir? And so Rav Schlesinger said a person might say, well, I only say Al-Anisim 8 days of Chanukah, so I don't know what the word dvir. Or he said, if you ask him, what does dvir beisecho mean? It means dvir beisecho. I mean, beisecho we know is a house. What's dvir? And this is a word, by the way, which we say in davening every day, three times a day in Shemoneh Esrei, in Ritzei. V'hashev es ha'avoida l'dvir beisecha. What does the word dvir mean? So he brought many proofs that the word dvir means kodesh hakodashim, the holy of holies, where the Aron HaKodesh was found in the Beis HaMikdash. For example, in Melachim Aleph Perek Vav, Pasuk Hey, which is the Haftorah of Parshas Truma, it says that Shlomo built as Kiros Abayis, Saviv Lahechol, Uladvir. What does Dvir mean over there in that Pasuk? Says the Metzudas David, Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. And you know why it's called Dvir? From the word Dibur, speech. Because we know, it says in the Pasuk, Hashem said to Moshe, V'dibarta itcha shah me'ala kapoiris. I'm going to speak to you from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, from the Aron, from the Kruvim that were on the kapoiris that covered the Aron, and the Kruvim that were on top of the Aron. That's where the Shechina was going to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Dvir refers to Kodesh HaKadoshim from the word Dibur, speech. And not only is the Kodesh HaKadoshim called Dvir, but the partition, whether it was a wall or whether it was a paroches between the Heichal, and where the menorah was, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where the Aron was, that paroches, that cover, that separation, the mechitza, is also called a Dvir. We find in Divrei HaYamim, Vayaviyu HaKohanim Es Aron Bris Hashem, El Mekomo, El Dvir Abayis, El Kodesh HaKadoshim, El Tachas Kanfei HaKruvim. It says beferish in the Pasuk that the Aron was brought by the Kohanim to its correct place, which is in the Dvir Habayis, to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, under the wings of the Kruvim. So we see clearly from all these sources that Dvir refers to Kodesh HaKadoshim. But if so, we don't. What does it mean in Ritzei? What do we say in Ritzei every day? Shemoneh Esrei. V'hashev es avoida, you should build up the Beis HaMikdash and bring back the daily work, avoda of the Beis HaMikdash, the service. L'dvir beisecha. So the explanation of the Mefarish in the Siddur, Oitzer HaTfilis, when he explains this, says that Dvir Abayis, Chachamim explained, means the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's where, as we just said, the Dibur goes out. And he brings that same Pasuk, V'dibarti Tcho Me'al HaKaparis, Mibein Shnei HaKruvim. Now, what avoda are we talking about there? So the explanation in the Sefer Siddur, Oitzer HaTfilis, says that this is the avoda of the Kohen Gadol once a year on Yom Kippur. Because the Kohen Gadol only went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim only one time a year. So it comes out, it's very interesting. When we ask Hashem to build the Beis HaMikdash and return the avoda to the Dvir Beis Echa, and we're speaking about the main avoda that happened one time a year on Yom Kippur. We're not speaking about the daily avoda, because there was no daily avoda in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It was only once a year. So it's very, he says, which most people, when they daven, they don't think about this, that we're asking Hashem, bring back the Beis HaMikdash and the avoda, which avoda that we do one time a year on Yom Kippur. But now that we know what Dvir means, how does it fit into the Al HaNisim? It says in Al HaNisim, V'acher kach bo v'nechel dvir beisecho. Your children, the Chashmonim, came out of the Dvir. If you go through all the Chazal that speak about Chanukah, it doesn't say anywhere that they went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What were they doing there? Not only that, it's difficult. How were they allowed to go in there? The only person who's allowed to go in there once a year on Yom Kippur is the Kohen Gadol. So what does it say in Al HaNisim that the Chashmonaim, when they defeated the Greeks, they went into the Dvir Kachacha? They weren't allowed to go in. What are they going in for? We don't find that they went in. So what does it mean in Al HaNisim that they went in? Now, it would fit in very nicely that if Dvir means the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that when you say it Al HaNisim, you're speaking about four parts of the Beis HaMikdash that they purified. Because it says, V'achach bo b'necho el dvir kachecho, that's the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then it says, ufinu es heichol lecho, they emptied out the heichol. The heichol is where the menorah is, that's right before the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then it says, v'tiharu es migdashecho, they purified the migdash, that's before the heichol, that's where a Yisrael, there's Ezra's Yisrael, that's even before the heichol. And then it says, "Vidliku neirois bechatzeris kachecha." They lit lights, the neirois, in the chatzer, in the yard of the Beis Hamikdash. So it would come out that we're covering all the parts of the Beis Hamikdash: the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Heichal, the rest of the Beis Hamikdash, and outside the Beis Hamikdash, the chatzer. It's very nice. The only problem is we don't understand where. What right did they have to go into the Kodesh Kodashim? What were they doing there? And the question is, we never find anywhere that they actually went in. If so, what do we mean when we say that they came into the Dvir Kachecha if they really never went into it? It said, the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that the whole story of Hanukkah, and then it says, they found a crucible of oil with the seal of the Kohen Gadol. So we had that question before. What is the emphasis here on the fact that it's from the Kohen Gadol? Rashi over there explained the Gemara says that they found three things. One, Bahatsna. It was secret. Second, it was signed with the seal of the Kohen Gadol. Third, Hikir Shaloi Nagabai. They recognized that nobody touched. They were able to tell that nobody touched this Pach Shemen. And it was still Tohar. It had the seal of the Kohen Gadol on it, and it was still Tohar. But Rav Schlesinger is going to focus on the first word that Rashi uses, and that is Bahatsna, Tznius. It was hidden. And as we develop the shir, we're going to understand this Rashi in a new way. And we're going to ask one more question, and then we're going to answer everything that we discussed till now with one big answer. The Rambam in Per Gimel of Hilchas Chanukah says that when the Yevonim went into the Heichal, they timu hataharis, they were metame everything except for that one crucible of oil, uportzu boy protzois, and they broke through in the Heichal. The simple meaning would be like they made holes in the wall, and we don't really know what the source of the Rambam is, because we find that they went in outside the Heichal and made, they broke through. We don't find really in the Heichal, but the Rambam says that they broke through in the Heichal. What is the explanation of this Rambam that they broke through specifically in the Heichal? Remember, the Heichal is where the menorah is, the shulchan is, right in front. And also the Mizbeach Hazov, the golden Mizbeach, right in front of the Peroches, which is the entranceway into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, where the Oren is. For some reason, the Rambam says the Greeks found it important to make breaches in the Heichal. Now, to answer all of these questions, we begin right at the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Aleph, Sif Aleph. The Ramah says, a person has to always think that Hashem is in front of him. If you go to a shul, shuls have right by the Amud, where the Chazan davens, or on top of the Oren Kodesh, Shevisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. Hashem is dwelling right in front of me all the time. The Ramah continues and says, a person should never be embarrassed because of people who mock him when he's trying to serve Hashem. Then he continues, Gambat Snei Aleches, also in Sneas, private, Ubishachvay al Mishkavay, and when he's lying on his bed, Yeda Lefnei Mihu Shaychev, he should know in front of who he's resting. So Rav Schlesinger said, we see many signs, da lefnei mi ata oimei, know in front of who you're standing. We never saw a sign yet, da lefnei mi ata shoychev, you should know in front of who you're sleeping. In other words, people should have in their bedrooms a sign. You should know who you're sleeping in front of. You're sleeping in front of Hashem. That we never find. But according to the Ramah, you're supposed to know not only when you're in shul, in a holy place, that you're in front of Hashem, but even in your bedroom, you have to know that you're sleeping in front of Hashem. Now, the Vilna Gaon says a very interesting pshat here in the words of the Ramah. We learned the Ramah, like I just explained it now, and it's the simple explanation, that the three words, gam batznei aleches, when you are in a tzniyistik place, in a modest place, you're not in public, you're in your own bedroom, and when you're lying on your bed, you should know you're in front of Hashem. That pshat, apparently, the Vilna Gaon did not like. That would be the simple pshat in the Ramah. He didn't like it. Why didn't he like it? Because, first of all, the Ramah already spoke about it that prior. The Ramah says that a person, when he's alone, a person acts differently if a king's in front of him or when he's alone by himself. So we always have to think, we Jews always have to think that there's a king. Who? Which king? The king of kings, Melech Malchim Melachim. He's always right in our house. We have to act differently. So what is he repeating over here and saying that when you're in tznius, the same thing? That's one question. And the second question is, why does he use the language of batznei aleches? Hatznei aleches is, if you want to tell me, you should say when you're alone in your bedroom. He uses the word hatznei aleches, which is a midah. He's trying to tell me something about the midah of modesty. So the Vilna Gaon therefore understood that what the Ramah is trying to say is the following. I just told you that what? Don't be embarrassed in front of people who are mocking you. And you should do it b'tznius. Now, that's a contradiction. The Vilna Gaon understood the Ramah is trying to answer a contradiction. Because on the one hand, it says that Azponim legehenim, a person who's insolent, chutzpah, azuz, he winds up in Gehenim. On the other hand, here you just said, al yisbayish bnei adam hamaligim. And the makor, the source of that, says the Vilna Gaon, is Yehuda ben Taimaimer in Pirkei Avos. Four things. Havi az kanemer, rutz katzvi, kal kanesher, gibor kari. You should be courageous like a leopard, you should be strong like a lion, swift like an eagle, and running like a rutzkatzri, like a deer. You should run quick like to do what? Lastly, Ritzon Avich Shemayim. So here, to do the will of Hashem. So here you tell me that Asponim LeGehenim, a person who is insolent winds up in Gehenim. Here you tell me you should be Azkanemer. So the Vilna Gaon says, yeah, that's what the Ramah said, that don't be embarrassed in front of people who mock you. Bavodas Hashem Yisborach. When you're serving Hashem, don't be Azkanemer. So for everything else, be modest, be bashful. But when you're serving Hashem, there you have to be strong. But then it says, there's another pasuk. Micha said that three things are important, and they are Higid l'cha adam matoiv. I'll tell you what's good. Uma Hashem shal mimcha kiim asois mishpat va'avas chesed va'atznei aleches Hashem lekecha. Three things that a person should do, and they are: do justice, love kindness, and be modest in front of Hashem. So the Vilna Gaon says, here you tell me, Azkanemer, courageous like a leopard, and Azus, and here you tell me that you should be Batsneya. So the Gros says, that's what the Ramah is trying to answer. And what is that? The Ramah is saying that Mikol Mokoyim, Kol Ma Sheyaseh, Bahatsneya Odif. Whatever you could do modestly is better. So the simple understanding is the following, based on everything we said so far. The Torah tells us, you want to do a mitzvah, people will mock you, and because of that, you're afraid to do the mitzvah. What is people going to say? Don't be afraid. Azkanemer. But here's the point as follows. When it comes to things that have nothing to do with Avodas Hashem, then you have to be not Azus. When it comes to Avodas Hashem, if it's necessary, Azus. But if you can get away with it and do it modestly, yes, let's say you could do something and you could avoid being ridiculed. So that would be the simple way to understand what the Gra is saying in the Ramah. If your confrontation, if there is a confrontation, you had no way to get out of it, then you have to be strong when it comes to Avodas Hashem Yisbarach. But better if you could do it without getting into confrontation, do it Batsneya. But however, Rav Schlesinger is going to develop the shear that the Gra means something else, as we will soon see. But this would be till now what we've learned from the Gra and the Ramah. Now, we think that when it says, be azka nemer, that's a contradiction to hatznei aleches, to be modest. Rav Schlesinger is going to show it's not a contradiction. And this is where we have to develop. So he began with the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer says that when Yaakov saw the Nesiyah, one of the things that we read on Hanukkah is the Parsha of the Nesiyah, the princes who brought, by the dedication of the Mizbeach, they brought Korbonos. In the end of Parshas Nasai, each day another Nasi brought, and it came out they all brought the identical same Korban, but Aaron, interestingly enough, didn't bring a Korban. And when he saw what the Nesiim did, he felt bad. And Hashem said, don't feel bad. What you have is even bigger than what they have, because you have the Menorah. The Ramban brings down a Chazal that Shelcha Le'olam Kayemes. What you have is forever. And the Ramban explains, because you have the Menorah. And the Menorah is going to last till the Chashmonaim, and it's going to last till 2009, Tav Shin Ayin, 5,770, we're still lighting the menorah. So you're greater, you're going to get the menorah, Aaron HaKayin. Aaron felt bad, he missed out on the Korbanos. By the Nesiyim, he didn't have a part in it. Shalcha G'dayla Mishalachem. What you have is even greater than what they have. Why? The Ramban explains. Because you're going to get the menorah which lasts into the Bayesheni, into the Chashmonaim, and from the Chashmonaim it lasts till today. When we lit menorah today, that was a continuation of the menorah from Aaron HaKoyim. So you're going to get better than that. Explains the Maral, and that the Midah of Yavon is Azus. Daniel in Perek Zion saw four animals which represented the four Goliaths, the four exiles that Klal Yisrael is going to go through. So the third one, says Daniel, I saw a leopard. Who's the leopard? Says Rashi, Zeh Alexander Mogdon. Alexander, known as Alexander the Great. This is the Greek Empire. So the Maral says that Yavon is like a leopard, because a leopard's midah is insolence, azus, and Yavon is also azus, and that's what we said before, that Yavon is nechoshes. When you say on Yom Kippur, we say we sinned in front of Hashem, but azus metzach. When a person is insolent, his forehead is up in the air. He doesn't. He's arrogant. He doesn't care about anybody in the world. He's not afraid of anybody. So that was Yavon. And it says about Yavon that your forehead was made out of nechoshes. It was made out of copper. So this is that Yavon is nechoshes, and Yavon is azus, and Yavon is also a leopard. So now, the job of the Jews was to take that midah of Yavon, of Azus, and transfer it to Kedusha, to holiness. And that's what they did. So he explains like this. Aaron had a midah of Busha. It says, Moshe Rabbeinu told Aaron, Krav el HaMizbeach. Come close to Mizbeach. Aaron didn't want to go near the Mizbeach. He didn't want to bring any karbonis. Aaron had the mid of Busha. He was ashamed. So Hashem said, Moshe said to him, Lama Taboish, what are you ashamed? Lakach Nefcharta, that's why you were chosen. So the Mephorshim explained, you were chosen because you have Busha. Because you don't have Azaz. Because you're modest. That's why you were chosen. So we see that the Kohen Gadol is identified. We see a link between the Kohen Gadol and Tznius and modesty. That was Aaron HaKohen. So the Avni Nezer says, why in fact didn't Aaron originally bring a Korban with the other Nesiim? They brought, why didn't he bring? The answer is, they did two things that were only could be explained because they had Azaz. They had a good Azaz. It's called Azaz de Kedusha, an Azaz of holiness. Why? Because number one, they brought a Ketores. If you remember, Nadav Aviu brought a Ketores and they got killed. For some reason, they got probably special permission. They said, we want to bring a Ketores, and they were successful. They didn't get killed. The second thing they did unusual was that it was a korban of an individual, and it was brought even on Shabbos. Normally on Shabbos, only a korban of a tzibur, of the entire Jewish people, not a korban of an individual. Yet they got away with even a korban of an individual. So the pshat is that they had azaz, but what kind of azaz? The kedusha. We want to do more. We want to try harder. We want to achieve greater. Aaron had a different midah. Aaron's midah was busha, modesty. I'm not going to try to do those things. But later on, Aaron saw, oh, look, because they had this azaz, look what they achieved. So he felt bad. If I would have pushed myself with azaz, look what I could have achieved. So Hashem told him, Moshe told him, you're going to get the menorah. You're going to get, and as the Ramban says, you're going to get it even into Baye Sheni. You're going to have the chashmonoyim. Now, what did the Chashmonoim do? The Chashmonoim is Masarta Giborim Biyad Chaloshim, Rabim Biyad Matim. 13 Jews took on 50,000, 100,000, a tremendous amount of Greeks, and through help of Hashem, 13 Jews destroyed the entire Greek army. That's not Busha, that's Azaz. But the only person that can achieve Azaz properly is someone who has busha. So Aaron, who had the busha, he's able to have the azaz. If you have azaz without busha, that's yavon. Yavon is an azaz who has no busha. When you have azaz that's no busha, look what happened to yavon. You have people in the world who are intellectuals, and they become the lowest kind of people. They have no shame to do anything wrong in the world. They're not. They're flaunt their bodies. There's no busha at all because everything is intellectual. And they have no meat of busha to control their azaz. But so the Avni Nezer says by Aaron HaKohen, Hashem told Aaron, right now you missed out on what the Nesiim did. But don't worry, you're going to get a second chance. And because you have busha, you're going to be able to do unbelievable things. You're going to be able to defeat an army in an unbelievable way. So because you have azaz, but at the same time, you have busha. And that's what the Maral explains also. On the one hand, it says, Ein abay shulamed. A person who's embarrassed can never learn. That means in order to learn, you have to have azaz. On the other hand, it says that a person has to have modesty. It says letzanuim chachma, to the people who have tznius, they have chachma. And the Maral explains because chachma is an internal thing; it's not an external thing. So who merits to have an internal thing, pnimius, inside of wisdom? A person who's inside, he's a pnimi. He's an inside person. He gets chachma. So how did the two things work together? The Maral says a tremendous thing. Do you know what tznius really means? Tznius doesn't mean necessarily that you do it without anybody seeing it. If a person learns in a room and nobody knows, no. That's tznius. But a person could learn in front of a lot of people. He can do acts in front of many people, but in his heart, why is he doing it? He's doing it only because Hashem commanded. He's not doing it because somebody's going to give him a compliment. He's not doing it because he's afraid of somebody. He has one goal in mind. I'm doing it because of Hashem. So therefore, it comes out the way the Maral explains that Busha and Azuz are two sides of one coin. In other words, on the one hand, the Chazal say that Torah was given to the Jewish people because we are an Azuz people. We're an Azuz people. We're Amkshei Oirev, we're stubborn, and it says Azimhein. We're insolent. That's because Eina Baishalaimit. If you're embarrassed, you'll never learn. You have to have some Azuz. But at the same time, Ulitznuyim Chachma. Only people who have tznius is Chachma. So how can the two things work together? The answer is they're two sides of one coin. Only the person who has Busha, only Aaron HaKayin Gadol, the Kayin Gadol who had Busha, was able to do things of Azuz. Only a person who has the inner Pnimius of Busha can have the outer Azuz, which is necessary in order to be Kona Torah. And that's the connection out of Parshas Vayeshev. Yosef ran away from Eshes Potiphar. It took a tremendous courage of Yosef to do it. He left his garment behind. And on that pasuk, it says, that when Yaakov spoke about Yosef, in Bereishis, Perek Mem Tes, Pasuk of Dalet, the Pasuk says, Vateshev be'esan kashtoi, vayafoizuz roya yodav. That it speaks about Yosef, and it compares it to a bow. We'll speak about more later in the Shir. But the Targum says on that Pasuk, he was Mekayim Arisa Besisrei. The Milah of Yosef was that he fulfilled the Torah hidden. And the question is, what Yosef did was done in public, meaning that people found out about it. Eventually, people found out that Eishes Potiphar had tried to seduce him, and that he escaped and he ran away. So how do we say it was done in quiet? The answer is that even though people knew about it, but he did the whole Torah quietly, not to take praise, not because he was afraid, not because of a compliment. The Rambam in Hilchos Yisraeli HaTorah, Perek Hei, Halacha Yud says, V'chein kol ha-poyrish min aveira, a person who separates himself from an aveira, or he osa mitzvah, or he does a mitzvah, loy mipnei dover ba'olam, not because of any reason, loy pachad, loy yira, v'loy levakish kavod, not because he's afraid, not because he wants honor, ela mipnei ha-boyrei baruchu, except he's doing it for Hashem. Just like Yosef stopped from the seduction of the wife of his master Potiphar, Harezeh Mekadesh Hashem. He's Mekadesh Hashem. And Chazal say that Yosef was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim B'Seser, hidden. And we ask the question, but people knew about it. Why is it hidden? The answer is, you could do something in public, but it's considered hidden because the only reason you're doing it is because of Hashem. Then it's sneis. It's not because you want a compliment. It's not because what is my friend going to say about this? You're doing it for Hashem. So it comes out, the way Reb Schlesinger is learning, I think that's what he's saying, that when the Vilner Gaon said in the Ramah that you should not be embarrassed because of people who mock you, and you should have sneis, it means that you could do it in public, but it could still be considered sanua, because in your heart you're not doing it because you want to get the promotion from what people are going to say about you. So even though you're doing it in public, before we explained the Vilna going to mean, if you're stuck, you got to do it in public, and you don't care about people, what they're going to say. But if you can get avoid it, if you can get away with it, try to do it in Bitsina. According to what we're explaining now is, you could do it in public, but if in your heart you're doing it only because of Hashem, so that's considered tznius. It's a new explanation of tznius. And now, says the Maral, there was a woman. Her name was Kimchas. and she was Zocha to seven children, and each of her seven children were Kohanim Gedolim. Why? The Gemara says, because the beams of her house never saw her hair uncovered. She's the one. Kimchas. She had seven. So what do we see? We see that Snias brought the schus of Kohen Gadol. So we see that when we said before that b'mei matishyoh ben yoichlin Kohen Gadol, and we asked the question, why is there a stress in Kohen Gadol? They found the pach shemen with the chosim of the Kohen Gadol. Why? What's the stress on the Kohen Gadol? The answer is, this is telling you what the whole fight between the Hashmonaim and the Yevanim was. The Yevanim was Azuz without Busha, without Snias. But by Klal Yisrael, it's Azuz. Yes, you need Azuz in order to accomplish in learning. Ain't a Bai Shalom made. If you're embarrassed, you'll never accomplish anything. But the Azuz has to be together with Busha. Aaron Akayan, you were chosen to be a Kohen Gadol because you have Busha. But then on the other hand, you're able to do audacious things like 100,000 Greeks fighting 13 Chashmonaim. That's Azuz. But because he had Busha, you're able to do it together. It says that when the Kohen Gadol went into the Lefnai Lefnim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there was no one else allowed to be there. So the pshat now is, it's not just that no person. It says in the pasuk, lo yi chol adam lo yiya bo'oil moye. Nobody should be in the Olamayit when Aaron HaKohen is there on Yom Kippur, or any other Kohen Gadol. It doesn't just mean nobody should be physically in the room. But when you, Aaron, go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you shouldn't have any cheshbon of a person in your mind. Not just that you're alone with Hashem in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but there shouldn't be any thought, oh, you know, all of Klal Yisrael knows that I'm the only one allowed on Yom Kippur to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then even if nobody's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim with you, there is somebody with you. You're thinking about what impression it's going to make on everybody. That's not what a Kohen Gadol represents. Yeah. A Kohen Gadol represents the pnimius. And it's that pnimius with which a person is zocha to Torah. Because otherwise, says the Maral, if a person learns so that people should give him honor, then the Torah becomes a physical entity and it won't stick with him. It's only when it's spiritual, when it's pnimius, when it's sneistic, then it can stay inside of a person. The Hoshanas, we say, Hoshana Dvir Hamutzna. We call the Dvir, you remember at the beginning of the year we spoke about Dvir Kachacha. The Dvir is referred to as Dvir Hamutzna, the hidden place, because that was the one place in the whole world which was the highest avoda of a Kohen Gadol going himself into the Kodesh Kadoshim without thinking of anybody else. And Rashi brings a psikta, the Rav Kahana, which says, there was a king who had a young daughter, and while she was young, he used to speak to her in public. But as she grew older, the king said to the daughter, it's not fitting for me anymore to speak to you in public. I'm going to build a tent. I have a relationship with you, but the relationship that I have with you when you were a small girl, I could do it in public. But now that you're older, it's not fitting for me to meet with you in public. That relationship that I have with you, I want to have it private at all. The same thing to B'nai Yisrael. When we were a young nation, Kinar, who Klal Yisrael is referred to as a young child, then Hashem at Har Sinai and at the Yam Suf, Hashem was able to be in public with us. But later, when we matured, we got older, Hashem said, no, now I need a Beis HaMikdash, now I need a Mishkan, now I need the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We have to have a private place where I could speak to you. I'm only going to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, from the Orit. So the Kodesh HaKadoshim represents the epitome of modesty, of tznius. What did the Yevanim want to do? That's what the Rambam says. Uportzu boy pritzus. They went into the Heichal. The Heichal is the entranceway going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And they said, you Jews, you want to have a modest relationship with Hashem in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? No, we're going to break that sneis with our azuz, with our azkanemer, which doesn't have any control with busha. It's totally uncontrolled azuz. We're going to break your modesty. The modesty that you have in the Kodesh Kedoshim, in the Heichal, we're going to break through that modesty. But the Chashmonaim were able to bring back that modesty into Klal Yisrael. So, now we said, they came to Dvir Kodeshech. We asked the question, how could the Jews come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? The answer, according to this, is they didn't physically come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They came back to the level of Tznius, which is personified by Dvir Kodeshech, by the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Of course, a Jew's not allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Even the Chashmonaim, the Kohanim, but only a Kohen Gadol could go in. But when it says, V'achakach bo banecha l'dvir kodeshech, it means that what you, Hellenists, Yevonim, you were trying to destroy Klal Yisrael with your Azuz. No, we now won over you, and we got back to the level of the Tznius of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And now Rashi, in Masechet Shabbos, when he says that the seal was found of the Kohen Gadol, he says, Bahatzna, in secret, in modesty. Now it takes on a whole new meaning, because the Kohen Gadol represents Tznius. And now, says the Chassam Sofer, somebody asked him a question, why don't women have, some people have the minig, but most women don't have a minig that they light their own ner. They're yoitza with their husband's ner. They're also mechuyiv. In fact, if the husband's not here, or they don't have a husband, they light. But if they have a husband, they don't light. The question is, why shouldn't they be? It says, v'hamahadrin ner l'chol echad v'echad. The mahadrin, everyone lights. Why don't women keep that thing? So the Chassam Sofer explains, he says, I think the reason is because it used to be that we used to light outside in the street. Outside in the street, that's not a makom that women should go in the street with men and light. And even though now the minig is that in most places, except there it's a straw, we light inside the house. But since they already had the minig that women didn't go out into the street to light, so even when it came back into the street, why? Because a woman, her main midah is called kvoda bas melech pnimis tznius. So it comes out the man whose minig was to go and light outside, he represents the azuz, the kedusha, the holy azuz. We go out. But the woman is the one who represents the tznius, the modesty. So now we understand. You know why the Mechaber and the Ramo at the beginning of Hilchas Chanukah, they spoke about cheese. And they spoke about the women not doing work. And we asked the question, is that the most important thing about Chanukah, that you should eat a cheese blintz or a cheese Danish? Is the first thing, tell me, make a latke, tell me that the light neiros, that's the most important thing. The answer is that the Mechaber and the Ramo wanted to explain to us as an introduction. Do you know what Chanukah is all about? Chanukah is about Yehudis. What did Yehudis do when she chopped off the head? That is not a modest thing. That is not busha. That's azuz. But you know why she was able to do it? Because she was modest. She did it that the goyim shouldn't molest Jewish women. She did it for tznius reasons, and she remained a tznua. And a woman does not light in the Hanukkah candles normally. If there's no man, then she does. But normally she doesn't. So this, the Mechaber and the Ramo wanted to set down, you know what the fight of the Chashmonaim and the Yevonim were all about? It was about this midah of tznius. And where is it personified? By Yehudis. And that's why we eat cheese, and that's why women don't do malacha while the candles are lit. To explain to you what the whole struggle was, unbridled chutzpah, unbridled azuz of the Yevonim versus azuz the kedusha of a yid, which is checked and by his tznius. And finally, we find the word kislev means, the swarm say, kesloy, kiss. In other words, you should hide all your actions like something that in your wallet. The word kislev is chaf samach, that's like a wallet, your pocket. Loy, to yourself. Keep it to yourself. Chodesh Kislev is represented by a bow. And we find by Yosef, when we said Yosef did things in secret, even though he showed azuz that he He ran away, gevura, courage to run away, leave his beged with her, and he ran out, but he kept the whole tarat tznius, as we explained, because what does tznius mean? It means you're not doing it for any reason in the world except because Hashem commanded you. So the final thought is, just like a bow, that's why the pasuk speaks about what Yosef did in terms of a bow, because a bow, the more you pull it towards yourself, the bigger power the arrow has when you shoot it. So what Yosef more and more pulled the Torah to himself, meaning that he hid his actions. He was a tznua. So even when he had to be show azaz, but it came from pulling the bow string closer and closer to himself, that gave him more power, because he represents the meat of tznius, and that's why the Targum says that Yosef, his real strength was in the fact that he did the whole Torah b'seser, in hidden, without anybody knowing. All the years of Mitzrayim, when there were no Jews around, nobody knew what he was doing, his family wasn't around, he did everything by himself, only Hashem knew. Yosef's whole midah was tznius, and that was like a bowstring that you pull it closer and closer, and it has more power when you shoot it out. Thank you.